Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Californians are dealing with their second major storm system in just days. Massive amounts of rain are falling across much of the state. Evacuations have been ordered for coastal areas. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti is in Sacramento County.
State officials issued a dire warning.
This may be one of the most challenging and impactful series of storms to touch down in California in the last 5 years.
The jet stream now stretches across the Pacific, all the way to Indonesia. The amount of water funneling straight into California, up to 15 times the flow at the mouth of the Mississippi River.
Meantime, parts of the Midwest are dealing with snow, ice, or tornadoes, and the South is recovering from strong overnight storms. The process of choosing a House Speaker is in its second day, and no winner yet, as Republicans have refused to hand the gavel to Congressman Kevin McCarthy. After a third round of voting earlier, the sixth total...
Question is on the motion to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Lawmakers are reconvening now. CBS's Nicole D'Antonio on Capitol Hill.
The stalemate here brings all other work to a standstill. The House needs a speaker in order to swear in members and begin legislative business. President Biden said the congressional skirmish is not a good look.
I just think it's a little embarrassing it's taking so long in the way they're dealing with one another. And the rest of the world's looking.
The Buffalo Bills say safety Damar Hamlin is showing signs of improvement after collapsing from cardiac arrest during Monday night's game. Hamlin will remain in the ICU at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center, where fans are still gathering outside.
I'm from California, Steve from Alabama. You know, we have Detroit. Every NFL team has your back.
President Biden says he has spoken to Damar Hamlin's parents at length. CBS's Steve Futterman has the latest on Amazon job cuts.
Amazon had already announced major layoffs, but this is more than was originally expected. Amazon said last year the number would be around 10,000. The Wall Street Journal says it will now be 17,000. The layoffs have already begun. They started last year. The report says the remainder of the layoffs will take place in the coming weeks.
A new government survey shows an apparent uptick in the number of Americans using illicit drugs. CBS's Alexander Tin with more.
Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration says new survey results from the agency tally more than 61 million Americans having used illegal drugs during 2021. 17% of Americans now meet the criteria for having a substance use disorder with either drugs or alcohol, the agency now estimates.
This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Attention! If you owe money to the IRS, this is an urgent message. The IRS is cracking down by sending out heart-stopping letters, aggressively garnishing paychecks, seizing bank accounts, and putting liens on homes and businesses. They call it enforced compliance, and you better watch out, because penalties and interest on unpaid taxes compound daily, making it seem impossible to ever get out of debt. Don't let the tax debt destroy your life. You need to call Optima Tax Relief, the number one tax resolution firm. They're experts in the Fresh Start Initiative, one of the biggest breaks that the IRS has ever offered. If you qualify, you could save thousands. Optima's resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, they'll fight to get you the best deal possible. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
The way we use our homes is changing. And as your local Carrier experts, we're here to help you improve your indoor comfort. From optimizing the performance of your heating and cooling system to ensuring your indoor air is cleaner and healthier, we're committed to delivering premium comfort and helping you breathe a little easier.
Carrier is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Contact the experts at 1-800-CARRIER or carrier.com.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang.
They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Snow likely tonight, otherwise overcast. Lows level off around 30. Easterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Snow likely again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 32. Cloudy skies expected. Chance for snow showers tomorrow night. Lows around 15. About an inch of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. We are watching front row seat, a once in a 100 year smackdown of a Republican leader. And look, you know, the reality, you knew this was coming. I said, you know, before the break, the theme of the next 2 years, Republican House Clown Show. Here we are, front and center, 2 days of, well, you know. And what I love is my congressman, Scott Perry, pardon me, Perry, took to the House floor yesterday, declared the government corrupt, broken, can't get anything done, and then proceeded to show us that there's nothing going to get done, and in the most corrupt way possible. I mean, the amazing part of this to me is the corruption that is right before our very eyes. Because what's amazing to me is, and if you listen to what's going on, they're bartering with McCarthy for their vote. These handful of Republicans, these 20, they are bartering for, they're selling their vote to McCarthy. And not for things that are going to benefit their constituents. Scott Perry's not bringing back any infrastructure back to my district. Scott Perry's not bringing home the bacon. Those 20, they want stuff. They want committee assignments. They want to be able to take trips and focus on their pet projects of enriching themselves, not their districts. And this is the part that's, wow. Can you believe it right in front? And this is what a patronage government looks like. This is what Republican government is going to look like. Nothing's going to get done for you or me or we the people. No. It's for the egos. It's the performative stuff. Republicans did accomplish one thing today, though. In a 216 to 214 vote, they adopted a motion just a little bit ago to adjourn. They came in at 8 o'clock. They worked 45 minutes or so. Didn't get anything done. Heck with it. Let's go home. Time for dinner. Miller time. They'll adjourn to the next day noon on Thursday. And you go, well, they don't have anything together. They don't. The reality is we are watching right before our very eyes a once in a 100 year event. We are watching children destroy our government. Now, I happen to think back in November when Kevin McCarthy was so sure he was going to be speaker. He said on the very, very first day of the new Republican-led Congress, we will read every single word of the Constitution aloud from the floor of the House, something that hasn't been done in years. Well, it wasn't done yesterday. Wasn't done today. Not going to be done tomorrow. And what's interesting to me is, again, Republican House clown show, McCarthy actually moved in to the Speaker's office. So sure he had the votes, which is what is really kind of rich about this, because that means that some of these 20 who are going to be his nightmare if and when he becomes Speaker, and I said this before the break, I want him to be Speaker. I want this for him. I want him to have the 20 headaches that are going to be nipping at his heels every single day and threatening him every day to throw him out of that position. I want him. I want this for him. Because here's what we do. We know absolutely. Doesn't matter who the next Speaker is going to be. The next 2 years is going to be chaos and nothing getting done. It's going to be, as my congressman, Scott Perry, proclaimed yesterday from the House floor, it's going to be corrupt, broken, and not getting anything done. Because that's what we're supposed to, this is the performative governance that we're supposed to expect. And this is what Republicans are going to give us. Now understand, the heavy 20 that are holding all this up, there's no downside for them in this. This is what they want. This is what their constituents have voted for them to do. So, you know, tying up government, shutting things down, getting nothing accomplished, helping no one, that's the goal. And continuing to say, it's all bad, it's all broken, government's broken, so that we can do what? Well, we can privatize. Clearly, governance of we the people is not possible anymore. This experiment of you and me and us coming together and figuring out how we're going to move in a common direction, that's out of vogue. We need a CEO. We need a company. We need privatization. Because this is how they do things. They break it, and they say, look, it doesn't work. And then they say, we're going to fix it. And then they break it more. And they go, oh, wow, this doesn't work. We need to privatize it. Profitize. That's what we're seeing. The other part of this that I find interesting is that you've got Donald Trump who I'm kind of thinking has lost the grip. The genies are out of the bottle when Lauren Boebert goes to the floor and says that Donald Trump should stop calling us and call McCarthy to tell him to resign and to step aside. Donnie, I think you've lost control. It's interesting, though, when Donald Trump is warning about embarrassment. Wow. Wow. When Trump is worried that you're going to embarrass yourself, that's something. It really is. And I've said this for a while. McCarthy has no one to blame for this whole clown car. McCarthy's got no one to blame for the Republican clown car going off the cliff. No one. But himself. McCarthy deserves everything that's going to come his way. And I said this before. I want it for him. But here's the thing. You and me, we the working people of this country, we don't. We deserve a government that is functional. We deserve something that is going to, it's going to help feed our needs. Inflation is real. Republicans don't have a plan. You may not like what the Biden administration has been doing, lowering drug prices, investing in infrastructure, doing things to try and bring jobs back to the country. You may not like that. They're doing something. These guys can't even agree who's going to lead them into the chaos. Now, you've got some people going, well, you know, we need a consensus candidate. I saw Brian Fitzpatrick, the Republican from Philadelphia. His name was floated as a possible, you know, it's a Kevin McCarthy ally. You know, he could get some Democrats. And here's my message for Democrats. Don't you freaking dare. Don't you freaking dare bail them out again. Did you not learn your lesson from throwing Marjorie Trainwreck Greene off of her committee? This is their baby. This is their albatross. This is their problem. Let them deal with it. The country needs this. The country needs to see the Republican Party for who they are. the do-nothing, get-nothing-done, corrupt party that they have always been. This, the country needs it. It's like therapy. It's like ripping the Band-Aid off and going, oh, yeah, this is why you don't vote for these people. And look, you knew these 2 years, nothing's going to get done. Nothing substantive is going to get done. In fact, we don't really, they did so much in the last 2 years. We got to get that stuff rolled out. That infrastructure bill, got to get that rolled out. Got to start rebuilding stuff. But the country needs this. They need the in our face. And Democrats, please don't come to their defense. Don't come to their aid yet. Eventually down the road, you may have to. Democrats may have to save the country from the Republican abyss, but not right now. Weeks down the line, maybe. Not right now. They're already talking about, like I said, Brian Fitzpatrick, Mike Gallagher. They're talking about, you know, a consensus candidate that Democrats could vote for and a handful of sane Republicans. I'm going, really? How many of those are left? You got Ro Khanna, who I like. We've had Ro Khanna on the show a number of times over the years. He said that he would consider the right Republican. I'm going, really? There's one of those? I said he would consider the right Republican someone that he could trust, like Brian Fitzpatrick, Mike Gallagher, David Joyce, he threw out. But he said there needs to be two conditions. He said, one, you can't have the debt ceiling debate or shut down as something that takes the country hostage. And I agree, we should do away with the debt ceiling. Completely do away with it. It's ridiculous. It's not helpful. The time that you complain about spending money is before you spend it. Ask anybody who's run a budget. When the credit card comes due, you don't then fight over, should we pay it? You pay it. The other condition he has is he said that there has to be some agreement on subpoena power. He said, but I'm open to a Republican who could work to put the interests of the American people first. Now, I'm not against that. These are Democrats going, you know, we want to accomplish things. We want to get things. We want to do what we were sent here for, without understanding that Republicans don't want this. Republicans want to lay on the floor, roll around, kick and scream like a two-year-old in a cereal aisle after mom said, no, you can't have the Lucky Charms. For instance, South Carolina Republican Ralph Norman repeatedly voted against McCarthy, says that if Republicans can't agree, they should go to Democrats to help find a speaker. Because, you know, well, we need help. He said, quote, he's willing to shut down the government rather than raise the debt ceiling. Is McCarthy willing to use that tool I just talked about? Is he willing to use it? He said, that's a non-negotiable item. This is what Ralph Norman wants. He wants to be able to use the debt ceiling to continue to hold us hostage all down the line. And this is why Khanna's position is kind of interesting, saying, no, we're not going to do that. This is what he knows the Republicans want. Now, my question is, okay, you take the debt ceiling away. What other budget tricks are they going to use to hold us hostage? Because, look, Republicans don't run out of ways to harm this country. There's always a next. For instance, there are some Republicans who say, well, maybe Steve Scalise. Maybe Steve Scalise is the way forward. You know, the guy who spoke at the white supremacist neo-Nazi event said that he was like David Duke without the baggage. Yeah, that guy. He's the suitable replacement. Oh, clown show. Did you get your popcorn? Because it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. Going to take a quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Fan of the show, you've heard our Labor History in Two segments, and you can hear them on the radio pretty much anywhere in the U.S. Labor history has never been more important than it is right now. So here's what we'd like you to do. Tell a teacher that labor history is important and that they can get digestible two-minute lessons that are absolutely free. Free to download, free to use, free to share. Tell a teacher to go to thericksmithshow.com/history and help us put labor back where it belongs, in the classroom. You know, generations of American workers fought, bled, and died to build the American way of life. It's our job to keep their stories alive. Go tell a teacher that we're here to help them do just that. Find us at thericksmithshow.com/history today.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Our thoughts go out to Damar Hamlin, the Bills player, who I don't know if you saw it on Monday night, and I hope you didn't. You know, it's a clip that shouldn't be on the out there that everyone's, you know, sharing around, and I'm glad that, you know, on Twitter at least a lot of people were sharing good clips of Damar. Our thoughts are with him and his family. If you saw this, this young guy into cardiac arrest on a football field. And, you know, I played football for years, and it's one of those things that you know could possibly happen. You know, a freak thing could possibly happen. Injuries are part of the game. Your mind is, but that, what was a routine play, now you've got this young man in the prime of his life, healthiest he's probably ever going to be, you know, fighting for his life. And what was interesting is, you know, immediately they were like, you know, 5-minute warm-up and everybody get back to the game. And the players, and this is where, again, the players are like, no, we're done today. Game over. And this is one of those things where I'm going, you know, this is the power of workers, of having some say in their workplace. The union, the players' union, is the one that said, no, we're not going back. It wasn't the owners. The owners were like, get back out there. And what I found interesting, and what, again, I'm kind of shocked at the people who are shocked that the NFL doesn't care about its players. I mean, these are the same people who think that their employers care about them. They don't. You're just a negative on a balance sheet. And every football player, anybody who's ever played, knows. You're in the game as long as you can play. The second you get hurt, there's someone that comes in behind you. And this was the same kind of thing, but this was so traumatic that people were like, no, we're done for the day. And what's interesting is, you know, again, everyone then goes to the extreme. This is why we should never have football and it should be the end of it. And I'm like, no, I'm not there with you. You know, you go on to any football field, baseball field, basketball, hockey, anything, you know that there's a chance. Slim, but there's a chance that something catastrophic could happen. But, you know, for me, it's this callousness that, you know, that we're finally, maybe this could turn into something positive. And I want something positive. I want this young man to get up and run out of that hospital. And if he chooses to go back to playing and that's his choice, you know, I wish that for him. But, you know, the amazing thing is we still have it in our head that, you know, we're as working people, more than just a negative on the balance sheet. And this kind of situation kind of highlights that for me. You know, I was looking at a lot of the comments that people, and I got a bunch of emails from folks, you know, chiming in. And I'm like, you know, I'm not surprised by it. Look, I've been on fields where people have been pretty badly hurt. They cart them off and the game starts again. This was different. This was different in that the players said, no, we're not now. And I think that's a step forward. And the lesson in this, if something positive can come out of a horrible tragedy like this, is that collectively, people have power. You know, government is not the answer to our problems. We are the answer. If we can come together, you know what? I'll bet you wouldn't have found 3 or 4 people in that stadium. Oh, get them back to the game. I drove out here for the game. Get them back. I bet you there weren't but 3 or 4.
People were united in that moment. For me, that's the point in this. You know, coming out of this holiday season, you saw a bunch of, you know, feel-good stories. You know, trying to, you know, to make work less horrible, I guess. Now, I came across a story about Walmart. They got a guy who's 103 years old working in the lawn and garden section. And this is, oh my God, this is great. And look, this may be what he does to get up in the morning. It may be a good thing for him. But the sad reality is most of the people you see working in those jobs who are in their 70s, 80s, 90s, and beyond, they're not doing it because they want to. They're doing it because we have such a badly dysfunctional system for working people that for most people, there's no retirement, and it's going to get worse. This football player, he's only been in the league, I guess, 2 years? He's not covered by the pension. So if he never plays another down, he never gets another dime. As I understand, their disability went significantly lower. So anything bad that happens to him, they're not going to compensate for. Now, maybe he's got an insurance policy. Maybe he's got something. Maybe. But the League of Owners, the employers, do they care? Oh, they'll take care of him. Will they? And this is one of those moments where, you know, again, out of this horrible tragedy, out of this negative is an opportunity to have a conversation about, you know, how things should be. Should workers have the ability to say, you know what, I'm going to withhold my labor like those players did? Now, the league is not going to punish them in this moment because it would be a PR nightmare for them to do. But, you know, they probably want to. And you know there'll be some kind of, you know, PR thing to address this. But ultimately, it's about the money. And the more it's about the money, the less they're going to care about you or me or anyone. And that's not just in football. That's in everything you do. That's in every job. Someone, you know, sent me this sign. And the sign is meant to be a joke. In fact, you know, if you look at the bottom right-hand corner of the sign, it says, you know, funsigns, you know, .com or something like that. But it says, you know, company policy, sick days. We no longer accept a doctor's note as proof of sickness. If you're able to go to the doctor, you're able to come to work. I've actually heard people say that. Personal days, each employee will receive 104 personal days a year. They're called Saturday and Sunday. No days off for you. No kids' soccer games, no school nights, none of that stuff. Vacation days, all employees will take a vacation at the same time each year. Vacations are as follows: January 1st, Memorial Day, July 4th, Labor Day, December 25th. Yeah, there are places that think you are just a tool. Now, again, this is supposed to be a joke, but for far too many people, it's reality. For far too many people, the situation that happened on the field the other night, where, nope, cart them off, bring somebody else in. That's the reality. I know. You know, the show must go on. Or so we're told. But this is where we, hopefully putting down our differences, because again, this is the Bills and the Bengals. They each had their hats. They literally were wearing their hats. They were wearing their jerseys in the stands and on the field. And then that moment, they were all united, which shows me that we can. But does it have to always happen at the end of a tragedy? Does it have to be a tragedy that pulls us together? I'm looking at what's going on in the House of Representatives. It's a tragedy.
Pride.
Left corner, three in the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
After I came home from Iraq, I could still hear the booms. Makes it hard to be a good mom.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
I'm Naomi Mathis, Air Force veteran.
DAV helps veterans get the benefits they've earned.
Thanks to DAV, I was able to begin to heal.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories great and small.
My victory is being able to be here for my children.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries, can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
Let's face it, life looks a little different. During these times, we're doing our best to keep our minds and bodies strong. And getting a flu shot helps us stay healthy, so we don't miss out on what matters. Like having game night at home. Yeah, can't do that while sick with the flu. Now imagine family movie night that your daughter can't live without. Well, that's ruined. And don't forget your uncle's socially distanced cookout. See? That's why it's important to be at our strongest. Every year, millions of people in the U.S. get the flu. Especially now, no one has time to miss out on moments that matter. So get your flu shot. Find out more at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m., right before the Sunshine Polka Party Show. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is going to be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Snow likely tonight, otherwise overcast. Lows level off around 30, easterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Snow likely again tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 32, cloudy skies expected. Chance for snow showers tomorrow night, lows around 15. About an inch of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
Natural Curiosity.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Still can't get over my congressman, Scott, pardon me, Perry. The government is corrupt. It's broken. Can't get anything done. and then proceeds to show how corrupt and broken Republican government would be. And obviously getting nothing done. I'm still stuck on the fact that they're all bartering for things for themselves. Out of all of this circus, make sure you get the fact that every one of their demands is about enriching them. Not you, not your community, not this country, themselves. It's about making them more powerful, more at the front. It's about them, not you, not us, not we the people, them. And here to share some thoughts on the Republican House Clown Show, I've asked my good friend Jeff Hauser to come talk with us. Jeff's the executive director of the Revolving Door Project. You can check out their website, revolvingdoorproject.org. Jeff, thanks for taking time for us.
My pleasure.
So what do you make of the fun and entertainment of 2 days of nothing getting done?
You have in the Republican caucus 222 people who are committed to becoming famous so that they can be on the right-wing grift circuit for the rest of their lives.
Yep.
They are post-ideological. Most of them have abhorrent views, but it's not really their abhorrent views that motivate them. They're all in it for themselves. And it's really hard to organize people into a cohesive entity when people don't care about anyone else. I mean, it's the ironic devolution of a party that, you know, used to believe in Ayn Rand, that everyone's in it for themselves. They're in it for clout. They want to be stars on social media. They want to be stars on Fox. And it's very hard to organize a political party out of such a mess of individual egotists.
No, absolutely. I mean, this is where, you know, Newt Gingrich, you know, said, look, you know, and you didn't get your guy. You eventually you got to come around and get on the team and get going, get an agenda moved. And you've got these 20 who are dug in because, just like you said, they want to do the Fox News. They want to do the podcast circuit. They want the attention. These are people who, you know, like I said a moment ago, these are the 2-year-olds in the cereal aisle kicking and screaming because mommy said no to the Lucky Charms.
Yeah, I mean, American politics in the past, you know, it's very easy to glorify it and to look at it through rose-tinted glasses and think it was a lot better than it was. I mean, there's always been egotists in American politics. There's always been hate.
Yep.
You know, we had no perfect time in the past, but there's definitely a dimension of being wholly motivated by self-interest and so disconnected from any vision of patriotism, even if it's a vision that, like, is, you know, entwined with views that I find abhorrent. There's definitely something that is even worse about this GOP in just the intense cynicism of it. That is why I think a lot of people find a lot of schadenfreude in watching the Republicans fail to organize themselves.
I'm taking no joy in this. It's sad.
That's what I'm saying. So it's the upshot, the serious person's take on this is that it's sad, it's tragic. I mean, it's funny, but like it's funny in a tragic, dark way. I mean, this is not how our country should be.
Yeah, and I'm taking it to the next level, which is this is by design. This is how you destroy a government. You break it to the point where you go, hey, we can't fix it. We now got to privatize it. This is where, you know, the fascistic leanings of these people come into play, where we clearly aren't capable of self-rule and self-governance. We need a strong man. We need a Trump. We need a DeSantis. We need, you know, fill in the blank. We need, you know, a powerful man to come in and take care of things. That's my fear.
Yeah, I mean, once you get out from thinking about issues of public policy and it's all about dysfunction and kind of connected culture wars, yeah, it undermines the sense that our political project is workable, that our democracy is functional. The history of that kind of devolution is scary.
Now, the thing that is interesting is, you know, as I said a moment ago, it's, you know, Trump doesn't have the power that I think people thought he had. This is really as much as it's a public humiliation of Kevin McCarthy, it's also, you know the emperor's, you know, the emperor's got no clothes on.
Yeah, it's an interesting phenomenon, and I don't feel like I have read yet a compelling take that describes how and when it happened in a way that is perfectly clear to me. I do think that the 9/11, I'm sorry, the 9/11, the January 6th committee has been very effective in not only making Trump look bad in the ways that you or I would take the January 6th committee's work to make him look bad, but I think he also just kind of got to a point where he was seen as the emperor without clothes. He was seen as a pathetic figure, which is the last thing that an aspiring strong man can be seen as. Like when Democrats would argue that Trump was a dictator, there would always be some smart voices who would caution that acceding to the notion that he was strong made him more powerful, and that's why derision of Trump and pointing out what made him pathetic was helpful. And over time, whether it's the January 6th committee or reality or I don't know exactly what, but he has lost a certain power. But I don't know. I feel like Trumpism is going to outlive Trump. And so the decay of Trump is not necessarily that satisfying to me.
No.
Because he has shattered certain baselines of behavioral acceptability in ways I think those remain shattered. So even if the shatterer goes away, we still have a lot to rebuild.
No, I said back in 2016, you know, he doesn't scare me as much as the next one will. You know, he is not the ultimate dictator. He's not the strong man. It's that person that he's normalized who will come in, who's smarter, more effective, understands how to navigate the system and works better with people other than being just a whiny, spoiled child. That's the person to be afraid of.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously we're, you know, kind of describing, you know, DeSantis without saying the name DeSantis up until this point. He definitely fits all those attributes. I mean, I think it remains to be seen if DeSantis is good enough at being interesting on a sustained level. I think that he is a good planner of strategic media activity. Like, he knows how to dole out controversies in a structured way. When he is in charge of the battlefield, if he has the initiative, he knows how to create a mess. And he also has enough establishment persona, because he wears suits that fit him better than Trump's suits, and his hair is a little bit more in place, and just kind of like gives off a competency vibe that I think is mostly just based off of aesthetics, but that definitely is an asset to begin with. But running for president and being a truly national figure in the way that a leading presidential candidate is definitely a different thing than being the governor in a state, especially a state like Florida, where the Democratic Party is its own type of clown show.
Exactly. No, I don't know that DeSantis has the charisma. This is the one thing that I think Trump's had in excess. If he didn't have the policy chops, didn't have all the other stuff. But, you know, like it or not, he's a charismatic guy who got people's attention. You listen to the Rick Smith Show here with Jeff Hauser. He's the executive director of the Revolving Door Project. The RevolvingDoorProject.org is their website if you want to check that out. Now, for me, you know, I'm watching these last 2 days and going, okay, well, Kevin McCarthy said on day one, we're going to read the Constitution. That didn't happen. You know, you had Jim Jordan saying, we're going to start passing legislation. That's not going to happen. I just don't see anything. I don't see anything coming out of this Congress other than the kind of chaos that we're witnessing. Do you see anything possible?
I mean, I think that the Republicans will presumably, most likely, figure out a speaker. I mean, I think it's possible that there's something a la what's going on in Pennsylvania now, or has gone on in Alaska and Ohio, where there's some like weird form of coalition between some Democrats and Republicans that choose like a slightly less crazy Republican. I'm skeptical that happens, but I definitely think it's a possibility.
So let me stop you there, because yeah. I've said Democrats don't do that. Don't do that right now. Let this play out for several days down the road before you come in and try and save anything. Let them give them enough rope so to speak. Do you agree with that, or do you think Democrats should be using this moment to leverage someone that they think they can work with? And is there anybody they can work with?
I don't think they should necessarily be going there anytime soon, but I think if you look at what does a Congress have to do, what is the absolute bare minimum? There is an agricultural bill that has to get reauthorized. There is a debt ceiling that has to be addressed, which I don't actually think. I think legally it's a non-entity. That's a whole separate question. But most people believe there's a debt ceiling that has to be addressed. There'll have to be a budget at some point. None of these things are that imminent. So you definitely have weeks and months where they can just have chaos and let the show go on. At some point in time, for the good of the country, I do think there might be a need to have a conversation. Because one way or another, whether it be the discharge petition, which is a mechanism by which a majority in the House that is disfavored by the speaker can bring a bill to the floor, that might be necessary on the debt ceiling or other mechanisms. Like, we might need some form of weird alliance just to keep paying the troops, you know, and like other kind of key things that have to happen in the next 24 months. So at some point in time, there is going to need to be a bit of a governing strategy, even if that, and that isn't to say, oh, we're going to pass the healthcare bill this country needs or additional climate or whatever. I'm not talking about, you know, really fixing deep-seated problems. I'm talking about keeping the country going about as well as it's been going.
Yeah, just functional. Yeah. So let me ask you this. Is there a possibility of the Republican Party being looking introspectively and going, maybe this is a chance for us to purge the 20 and maybe we find some common ground with enough moderate Democrats that we actually have a governing strategy that gets some of the things we want done? Do you see that as a possibility?
I mean, the main answer is no, but I think there are enough exceptions that it's worth thinking about, because I think the Republican Party normalizing is not an inevitability. And if it happens, it's going to be a decade or longer than decade process. But I do think that there are some fissures that are forming and that Democrats should be thinking about how to work with. You're already seeing McConnell, I know this is the Senate, but talk about intervening more aggressively in primaries because he saw what happened in 2022. He doesn't want that to happen again. I got to imagine other forces are going to be thinking about that in the House of Representatives. Moreover, in the House of Representatives, the current majority makers for Republicans are in districts that Joe Biden won that he will win again in 2024, including the home district that I'm from in Rockland County, where the one that Sean Patrick Maloney messed up when he kicked Mondaire Jones out. But that's not a place where this kind of stuff, the clown show, is going to play well. And so I do think there are 18 Republicans representing seats that Biden won. I think some of those 18 are completely insane and others have normal political survival instincts. So I think it's worth like reaching out to them, not to make any concessions. It's more like, these are the types of things you might think about doing, which might be good for you, but would be also good for Joe Biden in leading the country.
Yeah.
Or Akeem Jeffries in like trying to make this less of a clown show for the country. So, and then over time, what does that do to the powers that be within the Republican Party, be it business interests or the social right? I don't know. I think in general, Democrats are going to have to win a lot bigger election results than they've accomplished in recent years. Like beating Trump by 4 points in 2020, that's a disappointing result. Losing the national vote for the House of Representatives in 2022, we should think of that as disappointing, even as it's obviously great that Democrats retained the Senate and gained a senator. So I think in the long run, to fix things, we're going to need serious movement electorally. But in the short run, I think there are some fissures that are worth thinking about and being strategic about.
And again, we're going to watch this show play out for the next 2 years because I don't see this changing. I see those 20 causing whoever is going to be the speaker. And I said from the beginning, I want Kevin McCarthy to get exactly what he wants, what he deserves, which are 20 headaches each and every day as he goes to closes his eyes. He's going to deserve that. But I sadly don't see us getting the things that we need. Because look, inflation's high, prices are high, you know, wages aren't keeping up. There are a lot of problems that I don't know the Republicans have plans for.
They don't, and I don't even think they think they do. But they like to, they're very narrative driven. I mean, which can be advantageous because a lot of politics is storytelling.
Sure.
And so they are like always constantly trying to come up with stories to tell, which is, you know, in some ways easier to do than coming up with policy solutions to difficult problems.
Look at George Santos.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if the New York Times doesn't write that story, George Santos could be a multi-term member of Congress. It obviously worked for a while, and I don't, you know the exact process, but...
You know what a good time to write that story would have been?
Maybe late October?
Yeah, that'd have been a good time.
Yeah. My favorite fact about that is that the Democratic nominee in that district made his money, like a fair amount of money, running a communications firm. And so I just am, the mind is boggled by the fact that they lacked a community. They knew some of the extent of Santos's life. They didn't know all of it. And knowing all of it is a fair amount of work, but they didn't had no idea how to make what they knew a focal point in that race.
No, it's crazy. So last question I've got for you. Do you see this ending anytime soon? Any predictions, any thoughts of how you see this working itself out?
I mean, my assumption is that at some point in time, somebody like Scalise gets it. But that doesn't mean that I think Scalise is speaker until January 2025. I think that the time one can spend as Speaker of the House in the Republican Party just keeps shrinking.
Yeah.
And I think it's a very hot seat from the beginning.
Yeah, I don't know that I want a job that in an hour from now I can get tossed out of. Just saying. But it is what it is. Jeff, I appreciate the time and the thoughts. As always, great stuff, my friend. Look forward to having you on in the new year.
Thanks for having me. Happy New Year.
You as well. Our good friend Jeff Hauser. Make sure you check out their website, therevolvingdoorproject.org. We'll get links out on social media. You can take a look at that. Going to take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1965. That was the day that 8,000 social workers went on strike in New York City. For 28 days that bitter cold January, these workers marched on the picket lines. They were members of the American Federation of State, County, Municipal Employees, District Council 37, and the Social Service Employees Union. In walking off the job, these working people defied a New York law that forbade public sector workers from going on strike. 10 of the city's 25 welfare offices were completely shut down by the strike. One of the main issues of the action was the massive caseload each worker was expected to carry. Some of the workers who helped organize the action brought their experiences from the civil rights movement, and specifically in the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee and the Congress of Racial Equality. They were fighting not only for better working conditions, but also better services for their clients. One rallying call for the strike became rehabilitation, not humiliation. Welfare rights and civil rights activists supported the work action. Quickly, the city moved to get an injunction against these working people, who were standing up for better conditions. Mayor Robert Wagner fired all of the striking workers. 19 strike leaders were thrown in jail for 2 weeks. With mounting pressure coming from labor and civil rights leaders, the city agreed to appoint a 5-person panel to settle the dispute. The resulting contract made considerable gains for the social workers. Caseloads were capped at 60 clients. They also won improvements in pay, health insurance, vacation, and sick time. The strike is seen as an important victory by public sector workers, not only gaining a better workplace, but also improving service to the public. Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
So President Biden was in Kentucky today, and he's got to do a lot of this. He's got to do this. This should be what he does every day. Do a traveling road show of every place where they're going to spend money rebuilding our infrastructure. He was on the Kentucky side of the Brent Spencer Bridge, which you've seen this bridge. It is one of the main connectors between Kentucky and Cincinnati. It's been falling down. I mean, it's a massive economic driver. It's one of the main throughways. Tons of commerce goes over this bridge, and for years they've been saying, "Hey, we need to replace." You know, Joe Biden's doing $2 billion to upgrade it. $2 billion to make sure that it doesn't come crumbling down. Now remember, the last guy had infrastructure week every week. They had events every week at the White House where he got to play with toys. He got to, you know, pretend he was driving a truck. You know, and look, good for him. You know, everyone needs a hobby. But it was infrastructure week all the time, except we didn't do anything on infrastructure. Biden and the Democrats delivered a massive infrastructure bill. Not enough, not nearly enough, but it's what they could get. And it's going to, like in Covington, Kentucky, it's going to rebuild our infrastructure. Also, you had the vice president in Chicago announcing the Calumet River bridges. They're going to replace those. You had Buttigieg. He was out in Connecticut doing the same thing, talking about, you know, the stuff that they, Mitch Landrieu, the infrastructure coordinator in San Francisco, you know, visiting the Golden Gate Bridge, where, you know, they're going to talk about infrastructure. They should be doing this everywhere. And again, my idea, and I've said this from the very beginning, giant 15-foot Joe Biden cardboard cutouts with the finger pointing going, "I did that." So that every time you drive over, you something, "Oh yeah, Joe Biden did that." You know, take that idiotic sticker that they were slapping everywhere and go, "Yeah, this is what Biden actually did. Made sure that we had the resources." Because look, you know, they said the same thing during the Obama years. "We're going to do massive shovel-ready projects," I remember. And I'm like, okay, yeah, we need massive infrastructure spending. Massive. We never quite got it because Republicans continued to block it, which again is insane because you know where Joe Biden was today? In freaking Kentucky. Now, again, this is where Joe Biden's a much better man than I am. Because I wouldn't give Kentucky a dime. Sorry, you voted for the other guy. Because this is the world we're moving towards. You may not like it, and I don't. The world of patronage is where Republicans are moving us. Look at this clown show. Look at the clown show that we're watching in our House of Representatives. They are holding up the speaker's gavel because they all want something. They all want a little bit more. We should be outraged. We should be angry. But sadly, you know what this is going to be? You know how this is going to play?
Roxanne Watson is on a mission.
Hello, how are you doing today?
She wants more people to register as organ, eye, and tissue donors.
Are you an organ donor?
Yes, I am.
Yay!
My goal is to sign up the most people in the United States.
What drives her? Roxanne's own life was saved through the gift of a heart transplant, made possible by an organ donor.
I decided that day that I was going to devote myself to the cause of organ donation and signing people up and honoring my donor by doing that.
Now she's back to health, and she's a powerful force helping to save lives every day through her work. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life.
8 people can be helped with the major organs, and up to 50 people can be helped with a little bit of everything. And when you think about it that way, that you could help that many people, it's amazing. It really is.
Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE.